Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Please encourage your friends to search for Eagles on the Hill on YouTube or wherever they listen to podcasts. Follow us, like us, whatever the situation might be on that particular venue, so that they can join in the conversation that we have here a couple of days a week. Tuesdays and Fridays in the morning is when we put these podcasts out. We want to join together and follow Jesus, draw strength from Him to fly like an eagle. Today on the podcast, we're going to talk about a topic that is very timely for this time of year, and that is Passover. As Christians, we may or may not be aware that the festival of Passover is right now being celebrated by Jews all over the world. And so we need to know about Passover because Passover is the festival of deliverance, which the Jews still celebrate to this day. Over 3,000 years after the deliverance actually took place, they still celebrate it each and every year, as God commanded them to do. And also because this deliverance that God effected with Passover, as the blood of the Lamb was put on the doorposts of the houses and the angel of death passed over those homes, everyone inside was secure. This was a prophecy about the Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ Himself, the Messiah who would come, whose blood covers us and our sin so that the angel of death passes over us and we live forever. So an even greater deliverance that we experience through the blood of Jesus. In any case, we should know about Passover. And the first place to go to find out about the first Passover is Exodus chapter 12. So I want to read a substantial portion of that chapter to us so that we know about that first Passover experience, Exodus chapter 12. And then we'll talk about how Passover is celebrated today and so forth. So, Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats." Key, without defect. Of course, Jesus came, our Passover lamb, and was, of course, without defect. "Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. But do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water. Roast it over the fire with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it until morning. If some is left until morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall commemorate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days, you are to eat bread made without yeast." So it's a 7-day festival. "On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses, for whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel." An extreme penalty. "On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day. Do no work at all on these days except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for generations to come. In the first month, you are to eat bread made without yeast from the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day. For 7 days, no yeast is to be found in your houses. And anyone, whether foreigner or native born, who eats anything with yeast in it must be cut off from the community of Israel. Eat nothing made with yeast. Wherever you live, you must eat unleavened bread." And Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and both sides of your door frame. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land, the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshiped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. And at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was a loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, get up, leave my people, you and the Israelites, go. Worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said, and go, and also bless me. And we'll stop there. The continues a little bit, but we'll just stop right there. So, all right. So that is the Passover, the account of the Passover in Exodus chapter 32, and it is still celebrated today. So let's talk about some things about the Passover. Let's just do that. We read Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 32. Passover is one of the three pilgrimage festivals in the scriptures. So there are three festivals which the Israelites were instructed to go to Jerusalem and make a pilgrimage there and celebrate the festival there. And so Passover is one of those three pilgrimage festivals. The Israelites, of course, the Jews don't all make that pilgrimage now, although many do, but it's not necessarily a pilgrimage festival today. It's called Passover. Obviously, we just read the account of Passover. It's also called Pesach. So in Hebrew, it'll be called Pesach. And it happens on the 15th of Nisan, which is the first month of the Jewish year. The Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar. So about every 3 or 4 years, there's an additional month of Adar added into the calendar to make up for otherwise the month of Nisan, for instance, would rotate throughout the whole calendar year in a pretty quick fashion. But in order not to have the month of Nisan move away from the spring, they add a month of Adar every a few years to be able to keep the 15th of Nisan somewhere between March 25th and April the 26th. So that's when Passover occurs, somewhere between those two dates. So this year, Passover is kind of late. A lot of times Passover lines up with Easter, but this year it's almost a month apart from where we had Easter. We had Easter on March 31st, and now Passover is here in mid to late April. So very much off of where Easter is. Generally speaking, Passover is the night of the full moon following the vernal equinox. Sometimes it's the night of the second full moon following the vernal equinox, because it doesn't go before March 25th. And so if there is a full moon between the vernal equinox and March 25th, then Passover moves, as it does this year, to the second full moon following the vernal equinox. So there you go. So that's when it takes place. Oftentimes lines up with Easter, because Easter is the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox. So they're both tied, both Easter and Passover, to the lunar calendar, because when Jesus died, it was as the Passover lambs were being slaughtered in Jerusalem. And so it was very much tied into the Passover festival there in Jerusalem. We heard in Exodus chapter 12 about leaven, this command over and over for a few verses in a row, you shall not eat leaven during the Passover. And Jews have interpreted that or given reasons for that differently over the course of years. We'll see how the New Testament scriptures interprets that in a minute. But this feast then is called the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. It's a week-long feast. Passover happens at the beginning of it. The Passover meal happens at the beginning of it. Matzah is what unleavened bread is. And so it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For the Feast of Unleavened Bread today, the Jews have what's called a Haggadah, that is a liturgical book that has the liturgy for the Passover meal. The Passover meal is not, you know, go to McDonald's, buy a meal in drive-thru and eat it in 10 minutes. The Passover meal follows a liturgical order called the Haggadah, and that lasts generally about 3 hours. So it's a long meal. The meal has all these ritual foods that are eaten. The meal is called a Seder meal. The order, Seder, it's the Seder meal. And so there's all these ritual foods that are eaten, things that are said in the Haggadah or the Haggadah. So it's a long meal, and that is the meal that Jesus was eating with his disciples on what we Christians call Maundy Thursday, the night before Jesus died. He was following a different calendar than much of Jerusalem. So Jesus was eating a Passover meal on Thursday night. Much of Jerusalem was going to eat the Passover meal on Friday night. And so much of Jerusalem was slaughtering their lambs around 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, which was when our Passover lamb was slaughtered for us. And his blood was shed so that the angel of death might pass over us. Part of the Seder meal that I want to call your attention to is the part that we still celebrate today as Christians, and we call it Holy Communion. And Holy Communion seems to us like a little piece of bread and a little cup of wine, but actually that's part of a much larger meal. Where does the bread come from? Where does the wine come from? Where did that come from in the Passover meal? Well, let's take a look at that. Let's think it through. In the Seder meal, there are three layers of matzah that are put on the table. Before dinner, the middle layer of matzah is broken in half. And half, then that half is hidden away. It's called the afikomen, the dessert. It's hidden away in the room. And then the meal is eaten, and there's, you know, the meal happens. And an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours later, there is this time after dinner when the afikomen, that dessert half of the middle layer of matzah, is found. The kids hunt for it around the house, and whatever kid finds it, they bring it back to the table, and there's great celebration when it's found, and that kid usually gets a prize. It could be a big prize. It could be like a new bicycle. Like, it's significant. Now, you ask Jews why that happens. Heard rabbis say, well, this might sound funny, but it could be true. I don't know. The Jews say, well, that happens because we want to keep the kids interested in what's going on. We don't want them to fall asleep or want to leave the table. They want to hang around because they want the prize. So that's why we have this tradition. Well, as a Christian, you look at that and you say, I think maybe there's more there. There's three layers of matzah. The middle layer is broken in half and hidden away. And when it is found, everyone rejoices. Does that sound like something to you? Does that sound like God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? The Son is broken, hidden away in the tomb, and he's found. And when he is found, great rejoicing takes place. And who gets the prize? You get the prize, eternal life, because Jesus is risen from the dead. So if you go over to your Jewish friend's house and celebrate Passover with them and have a Seder meal with them, this will happen in your Jewish neighbor's house. They will be actually celebrating, without realizing it, the death and resurrection of Jesus for their eternal life. But they don't know it. They don't see it. Following the eating of the afikomen, there are four cups of wine that are drunk throughout the night. And the third cup of wine that's drunk is the cup after dinner, after the afikomen. The third cup of wine is drunk. And the third cup of wine is called the cup of redemption. So Jesus, when he was celebrating Passover with his disciples, took the afikomen, passed it around to his disciples, and said, take and eat, this is me. We've been celebrating me all these years, you understand. Take and eat, this is my body, given for you. And then he took that cup of wine, the third cup of wine, the cup after dinner, passed it around to his disciples, and said, take and drink of this, all of you. This cup is my blood of the new covenant, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This is the cup of redemption. The one that buys you back from sin, buys you back from Satan's kingdom, and brings you into the kingdom of God. So that's what's going on in communion, is we're taking that piece of the Passover Seder, the afikomen, the third cup of wine, and we're just truncating the Seder meal to those two things to be able to be blessed in the Passover Seder. So there you go. That's what we have. Let's take a look as we close at a New Testament reference to all of this from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Paul writes to Christians in Corinth who were caught in great grave sin. And he says to them, your boasting is not good. They were boasting that they could sin and it wouldn't matter. Imagine that. He says, your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So a couple things there. Christ is our Passover lamb. Clearly, the New Testament views Jesus and his death on that Passover in Jerusalem, as all the other Passover lambs are being slaughtered. The New Testament views Jesus as our Passover lamb who was crucified for us. But the New Testament takes this leaven and the stress on eating unleavened bread all week and says leaven, well, it kind of follows up on what Jesus, how Jesus used leaven, as being something bad, representing something evil, something sinful. And the New Testament says, you know, we Christians need to celebrate the feast of unleavened bread each and every day. We need to have lives freed from the leaven of sin and filled with God's righteousness. And so that's how the New Testament takes the meaning, the spiritual import of this feast of unleavened bread. We need to live lives as if we are unleavened, lives full of sincerity and truth, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians. So I pray that you have a blessed time here as your Jewish friends and neighbors will be celebrating Passover. If you know any of them, certainly wish them a happy Passover. That's appropriate to do. And I hope that you've learned something about how Passover carries over and is a foreshadowing, a foretelling of the deliverance that we experience through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. We want to encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts about this or other topics that you'd like for us to discuss. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast.